mayi
sarvam
idam
protam
sutre
mani
ganaha
eva
matah
parataram
nanyat
kinchidasti
dhananjaya
mayi
sarvam idam
protam
sutre manigana
eva
matah parataram
nanyat
kinchidasti
dhananjaya
mayi sarvam
idam protam
sutre manigana
eva.
O conqueror of wealth, there is no truth superior to me. Everything rests upon me as pearls are strung on a thread. Purport. There is a common controversy over whether the Supreme Absolute Truth is personal or impersonal. As far as Bhagavad Gita is concerned, the Absolute Truth is the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. And this is confirmed in every step. In this verse in particular, it is stressed that the Absolute Truth is a person. That the personality of Godhead is the Supreme Absolute Truth is also the affirmation of the Brahma Sanhita. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satyadananda Vigraha. That is, the Supreme Absolute Truth, personality of Godhead, is Lord Krishna, who is the primeval Lord, the reservoir of all pleasure, Govinda, and the eternal form of complete bliss and knowledge. These authorities leave no doubt that the Absolute Truth is the Supreme Person, the cause of all causes. The impersonalist, however, argues on the strength of the Vedic version given in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad. Tato yad utaratarang tad arupam anamayam ya etad vidur amritaste bhavanti athetare dukham evapayanti. In the material world, Brahma, the primeval living entity within the universe, is understood to be the supreme among the demigods, human beings, and lower animals. But beyond Brahma, there is the transcendence who has no material form and is free from all material contaminations. Anyone who can know him also becomes transcendental, but those who do not know him suffer the miseries of the material world. The impersonalist puts more stress on the word arupam, but this arupam is not impersonal. It indicates the transcendental form of eternity, bliss, and knowledge, as described in the Brahma Sanhita quoted above. Other verses in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad substantiate this as follows. Vedaham etang purushang mahantam aditya varnang tamasah parastat tameva viditvati mrityumeti nanya panta vidyate yanaya. These last two lines, they were also quoted in the verse that we read yesterday. As I said, these two lines are well known among the followers of the Upanishads. It means that by knowing him or that, if you interpret as the impersonal Brahman, one can cross over death and there is no other path for doing so but this. Yasmat param na param asti kinchit yasmananyo no jayo asti kinchit vriksha iva stabdho divi tishtatye kas tenedang purnam purushena sarvam. I know that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is transcendental to all conceptions of darkness, only he who knows him can transcend the bonds of birth and death. There is no way for liberation other than this knowledge of that Supreme Person. There is no truth superior to that Supreme Person because he is the supermost. He is smaller than the smallest and he is greater than the greatest. He is situated as a silent tree and he illumines the transcendental sky, and as a tree spreads its roots, he spreads his extensive energies. From these verses, one concludes that the Supreme Absolute Truth is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is all-pervading by his multi-energies, both material and spiritual. Mai sarvam idam prutam sutre marigana eva. Who is supreme? See, the advertisement for that book is there. Who is supreme? Is it? It's usually kept there. Who is supreme? The common question is clearly answered by this verse. Krishna is supreme. However, Srila Prabhupada doesn't, in this purport here, touch on that subject at all, of who is supreme. He comes to the subject of what is the nature of the supreme, personal or impersonal. Now this question, who is supreme, has been a major part of India's religious and cultural history in the recent past. That means at least we can say for the last 2,000 years or so, whatever. And here in Tamil Nadu, it became what is now called Tamil Nadu, is probably more extreme expression of that controversy here than anywhere else. The question of whether Shiva or Vishnu is supreme came to the point of persecution, literal persecution, which in other parts of India didn't come to that. It was mostly confined to debate. Who is supreme, Shiva or Vishnu? So that's throughout much of India, that was a contentious issue. And in Bengal, traditionally, there's been a rivalry between the Shaktas and the Vaishnavas. Shaktas means the worshippers of Durga and Kali. Even in North India, who is supreme, Rama or Krishna? The followers of the Krishnaites or the Karshnas, they don't usually get into this much, but we find from the side of the Rama Bhaktas, there's often said, our Rama is more moral than your Krishna. More developed, better than your Krishna. So, who is supreme? And in the modern age, we have Jesus is supreme. That's a big issue here in India nowadays, the onslaught of the most primitive form of Christianity, philosophically and culturally primitive form that the West has, finding increasingly less scope in the West. It's come charging out to Asia and Africa to take it over for Christ. And scholars of the Vedas, that means mostly Western or Westernized scholars, they say, well, in the Vedas we have Agni and Varuna and Indra and Vishnu really came a lot later. And there are all kinds of theories that there was Vishnu and then there was some tribal god called Krishna who they merged the two persons together. And Buddhism was a major force which was undermining Hinduism, so someone, we're not sure exactly who, had the brilliant idea to make Buddha an avatar of Vishnu and in this way incorporate him into Hinduism. And when we say who is supreme, whether it's this god or that goddess, well, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, the culmination of all the great God-men before him, came up with the understanding, Jato Mat Toto Pat. It doesn't matter who's supreme because it's all the same anyway. Kick him in the face with boots. Find out where he is. Go looking through the stool, find out which worm it is and kick it in the face. So, who is supreme? Well, from this verse it's quite clear that Krishna is supreme. From the verses quoted in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is quoted, following Baladev, I presume, Baladev Vidyabhushan, from Shvetashvatara Upanishad, it's not as clear as here in Bhagavad Gita, because the word Purusham is there. Vedaham etam Purusham Mahantam. I know that great person. Adityavarnam tamasah parastat, who's shining like the sun and dissipates the darkness. So it points to a supreme person, doesn't say who it is, and often is presumed that Shvetashvatara Upanishad refers to Shiva because the word is there, Maheshwaram. What is that? I'm not remembering now that verse. Maheshwaram. Of course, that also refers to Krishna, but generally it's said with relation to Shiva. But elsewhere in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad, in fact in the verses have been quoted for the sake of building the argument in this purport, the verses have been put out of order, but these verses, Vedaham etam purusham mahantamad, which refer to the great person, there are two verses, and then following that are the verses which are quoted in this purport prior to that, in which the words are there, well, particularly the word arupam, so formless. Srila Prabhupada translates, who has no material form. But in this, if you see the Sanskrit, it simply says arupam, without a form. So the Srila Prabhupada is given the understanding that that means without a material form, but it literally says formless. So the question of who is supreme is to be preceded by what is supreme, or what is the nature of the supreme? What does it mean to be supreme? The commonly asked question in do you believe in God? It's not a very common question in India, but in the West it's common. Do you believe in God? And many people will say yes, but then what do they mean by God? There are all kinds of ideas. So for instance, this is some of the most bizarre ideas. Someone will say that some great football player is God. He is our God. Or a great, beautiful film actress. She's just like God to me, or like this. In fact, there was an actor who died young, and he was huge in America in the 1920s or something, completely forgotten now. And when he died, then so many women committed suicide. John Lennon, when he died, so at least one person committed suicide. So they're thinking, Lennon is God. John Lennon. Yeah, I guess you should all know about him also, if you're going to preach in this world. You don't need to know about John Lennon if you're in Salem, but if you ever get out to the West, it's part of standard general knowledge. Well, he said, I'm God, more or less. He more or less said that. I just believe in me. I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe in Krishna. I don't believe in Buddha. I don't believe in Hitler. I don't believe in pretty much anything what anyone else believes in. I just believe in me. That was his great philosophy. Yoko and me, his wife's name. That is reality. So, there are all kinds of ideas. What is God? The most common idea is that God is the formless, inexpressible. And then you stop. Inexpressible. What else are you going to say? So it's the other with a capital O. It's the other, and you have to realize that you are that other with a capital O. As stated by one of the who is presumed to be the most advanced of the contemplative Christians of the modern age. This is his conclusion, that you realize there is an other with a capital O, and that you are that other. I don't know where Jesus taught that, but anyway, that's the version that impersonalism. So Srila Prabhupada, he took up the battle with impersonalism. It's a parampara. It's like in a family vendetta. Vendetta. What's the word for vendetta? Feud? Ongoing battle? That it goes on generation after generation. You tell me, in your country that's quite common. That they'll hate each other generation after generation, and sometimes there's a killing here and there. So this goes on, generation after this, parampara. It's our parampara vendetta against the impersonalists because of their offenses to Krishna. But actually this matter should be to say who is supreme without understanding what is the nature of the supreme is meaningless. Not to undermine the Who is Supreme book, that should be there. But Srila Prabhupada, he said that Mayavad is worse than atheism. And actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that also. Vedna mania bodh hoito nastik, vedashray nastik kyavad bodha ke adhik. He says that the Buddhists, because they don't recognize the Vedas, they are considered nastic. We have in this verse we've read today, kinchid asti. The word asti means is. It indicates existence. And nastic, naasti, one who ascribes to the theory of naasti, nasti. They are called gnostic. They don't believe, they don't accept the existence of God, or specifically they don't accept the existence of the Vedas. Actually, the Vedas must exist. If there's God, there must be the Vedas. And actually, Veda means knowledge, so there must be knowledge. If there is anything, if there is eternality, there must be Veda, because there's knowledge of it. And eternality, there's this idea that eternality, the ultimate eternal, has no form, name, quality. Then what is eternal? If there must be something which is eternal, not nothing. So they say it's just bliss. But bliss, who's experiencing? There must be personality. So the Buddhists are considered nastika. But those Veda Shray Nastikyavad, those who adopt the Nastikyavad, the idea that there is nothing actually, they are worse than Buddhists, because they take shelter of the Vedas, or they say that we are speaking from the Vedas, but they speak against, they speak the same thing, that ultimately there is nothing. Now, it might seem that they have grounds to do so. Tad arupam, no form. And there are other such statements. Nirguna, common idea. Shankaracharya promoted this idea. Nirguna and Saguna Brahma. What else is it? Anama, no name. Niraka, no, same as arupa, more or less. No form. But niraka is a common term. Saka, niraka. We hear the terms. Sakar upasana and niraka upasana. Sagun, nirgun. So all these terms, they are there in the Upanishads. And the Upanishads are meant for defining the Supreme. But the Upanishads, they might appear to be, they are difficult to understand, because there are statements which are classified as those which uphold the oneness of the Absolute, and those which uphold the difference between the Absolute and everything else. Bhedavakya and Abhedavakya and Bhedavakya. So how to understand all of this? Well, different acharyas have understood this in various ways. If we understand from Bhagavad Gita, then it becomes very clear. Mataparataram nanyat. It's very clear. Krishna is speaking and he says, there is no truth, there is nothing superior to me. So then it becomes resolved. But those who are attached to the impersonal understanding, then they interpret Krishna to mean a manifestation of the impersonal, which the ultimate is speaking through Krishna. Krishna himself, he decries this idea. Avyaktim, avyaktam vyaktim apanam manyante mama buddhayaha. Those who are without intelligence, they say that my personality is manifested from the avyakta, from the unmanifest. I haven't actually seen what the impersonalists say about this, but they could, I can imagine they would say that, yeah, if you see that personality is being generated, you're foolish, because actually there is nothing but avyakta anyway. And the appearance of form is just an illusion. So they're good at arguing. It doesn't make any sense, but it sounds attractive to people who are in the category of Matiena Krishne Paratasvatova Mitobi Padyeta Grihavratanam Adanta Gobhivishatanta Misram Punaf Punas Charavita Charavita Charvananam. Persons who are in the category of being determined not to be Krishna conscious. Such persons, they will not become Krishna conscious. They are called Grihavrati. We may say, well, so they're big sannyasis, they're renounced from the world. They're not Adanta Go. They are in control of their senses. But their situation is described elsewhere in Bhagavatam as Yenye Ravindaksha Vimuktamaninas. They are Vimuktamani. They might be liberated, but they're not fully liberated. Well, in this material world, one problem creates another. You can get away the fly, but it gets a little cool. So when you see a fly, you can wish it away. W-H-I-S-H. Wish, not I can wish it away, W-I-S-H. But you have to wish it away, W-H-I-S-H. You have to understand English to know this. So, they think that they are fully liberated, but they're not. They may be liberated. They go all the way up to the Parampadam, to the spiritual sphere. Yenye Ravindaksha Vimuktamanis Twayasta Bhavada Vishuddha Buddha. But their intelligence, it might be purified in the sense that they are free from gross manifestations of material desire, but it's not fully pure. So Aruhya Kritrena Parang Padang, with great difficulty they get up there, but Tataha, from there, Aruhya Padang Padang, and what's the next line? Patanti, yes, then they fall down. Patanti Ado, they fall down. Patanti Ado, Anadrita, Yushmadangra, they fail to have regard. They neglect to worship Krishna's lotus feet. So they're more dangerous because they're talking Vedic knowledge. And they can make some spiritual progress. But they're basically on the wrong path. Because they stress more on the arupam, the idea there's no form, no love, no feeling. As far as we're concerned, that even if theoretically those who are speaking that ultimately all is one, if they were correct, which is not at all a fact, we would say, let them. You go to the impersonal Brahman, we want to be with Krishna. If you like, all right, okay. You're signed. You won the argument. You're a great scholar and you are Brahmalin. You have merged in the impersonal. Okay, you merge. But as far as we are concerned, Kaivalyam Narakayate. This idea of becoming one with the Supreme is just like hell, because there's no opportunity to offer patram, pushpam, palang, toyam, leaf, flower, fruit or water to Krishna, or to perceive Krishna's satisfaction in our serving Him, or His dissatisfaction. Even if Krishna shows some dissatisfaction, we'd prefer Krishna's dissatisfaction to correct us, rather than this simply forgetfulness, total amnesia, like being under anesthetic. You're just out, cold, like being dead. So what is the nature of the Supreme? These questions will come up. our Jesus, he is God. Then you can ask some question. What do you mean by God? And you start asking some questions. So what does Jesus do? And what do you do when you go to what does Jesus do all day? Is he just, he has a nitya lila of getting crucified or what? He comes again and again to get crucified again and again. What does he do in heaven? He's just sitting at the right hand side of God all the time. The right hand, sitting at the right hand side of the Father. That's all he does. Just the Father sits and then he sits, and that's all they do is sit and they give judgment. But then there's a judgment day and then it's all over. What does he do after that? What does he do? They have no knowledge of the nature of God. And if they ask you, then you can explain. They can't explain. There's so much lacking so in their supposed to be philosophy. So practically they'll say, well, our Jesus is very good. He's the Prince of Peace, and your Krishna killed so many people and this and that. But rather than trying to compare the personality of Jesus with that of Krishna from a humanistic moral perspective, we should first of all ascertain what is the nature of the Supreme. What does it mean to be God? And this we can give the answer. If anyone asks us, then we can just talk and talk and talk, and they won't have room to speak. He's all loving. He's the supreme enjoyer. What is God? What is the nature of God? First of all, let us understand. Are you God? Most people think this. I am God. They may not directly philosophize like that, but everyone puts themselves at the center. They think what happens to me is most important. If I have a little pain in my toe, that's more important to me than if I read in the newspaper 70 people killed in an explosion in Iraq. You just read, okay, what's the cricket score? That's more interesting. But if I have a little pain in my toe, we take that more to be more important than 70 people killed in Iraq or whatever. Because we think ourselves to be more important than anyone. And do you believe in... do you believe in God? Well, what I believe is more important. What is the fact? Actually, it's a non-question for those of us who've studied under Srila Prabhupada. It's a non-question. Does God exist or not? But the idea that what I think, that will settle the question. I am the arbiter of the truth. If I say, yes, I think there's a God, then God is allowed to exist. And the next day, no, I don't believe in God. And then God ceases to exist. This is nonsense. Therefore, atato brahma jignasa. Now we should inquire into the nature of reality. This idea, you'll find they go around with microphones and walk up to people on the street. Do you believe in God? Yeah. Do you believe in God? No. Do you believe in God? Yes. And by getting the public opinion, as if it's some kind of vote, they can understand whether God exists or not. This is nonsense. Nonsense. We should try to understand what is the nature of reality. So here, Krishna summarizes all the Vedic knowledge. Mataparataram nanyat kintirasti. There is nothing even slightly superior to me. Mayi sarvamidam protam sutre manigana eva. But we can't... Arjuna is seeing Krishna, speaking directly to him. Or others may say, well, I don't see God, I don't see Krishna. Or Duryodhana may say, I see Krishna, but he's a chariot driver. He's how is he God? Krishna is like the string on which pearls rest. If you see a string of pearls around someone's neck, you don't see the string that holds it up. But you know there must be a string. So when we see everything in this world, how is it all held together? How is it all going on? How does it exist? The answer is Krishna. Krishna is the ultimate principle on which everything rests. Yena jatani jivanti, in which everything rests, that is Krishna. So, in this way, we are to understand. Those who think that the impersonal, that is ultimate, then Krishna says, Brahmano hi pratishtaham. Krishna is the basis. That impersonal understanding is not rejected, but we have to come beyond that to the personal understanding. Hare Krishna. Question, comment? Yeah, this discussion can go on, generation after generation. It can go on, it will go on and on and on. No doubt. You said that because of our conditioning, we feel as if there's some impersonal statements in Shastra, but actually it's all personal. It's only because we have that conditioning that we think that it's impersonal, that it presents something impersonal. And some acharyas present it in that way, Madhva especially, that there's no such thing as impersonal, there's no impersonal Brahman, there is nothing impersonal, it's all just Brahma. Is that name comes up often, that means Krishna. So that, well, he will say Narayana. And for him there's no difference anyway. And everything's no difference. So for him there's no... For him, the question of which is the supreme form, Narayan, Vishnu, Krishna, for him there is no difference. They're all exactly the same. Whereas others will speak of, well, some there are Bheda Vakyas, Abheda Vakyas. In Chaitanya Bhagavat is stated that in Srimad Bhagavatam the only topic is bhakti. We have some passages in the Bhagavatam which appear to be somewhat impersonal. If you just read the Sanskrit and you don't read Srila Prabhupada's translation, you only read Srila Prabhupada's translations. Because just like here, the word arupam is given, and Srila Prabhupada translates it as he has no material form. But that's Srila Prabhupada's bhavanuvada, the translation which gives the meaning, which is a standard system within Vedic commentaries. That the commentator gives the meaning along with the implied meaning as according to his realization. So there are passages like that. And Vishwanath Chakravarti, Srila Prabhupada just explained, it's all bhakti. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he in some place he says these verses are meant for impersonal. More for them. Or it describes them, just like Kapila Dev will say that the yogi, he meditates and this and then Vishwanath will describe that this describes the situation of the impersonal. So, at least according to our Gaudiya understanding, which we accept as supreme, what is this? This is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Matam Idam Tatradaro Na Para. This is the mat. This is the opinion, is the usual translation of mat. Although when Krishna says, mat, that matam, that means when it's Krishna's opinion, that's it, it's a fact. When Ram Krishna, so-called Paramahamsa, says jato mat tato pat, that means it's all nonsense. But when Krishna says yogi nam api sarvesham madgatena antaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yamam sa me yuktatamo mata, that this is my opinion, that the best yogi is the devotee. That means it's a fact, if that's Krishna's opinion. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu matamidam. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's opinion. Aradhyo Bhagavan Rajeshatanya Ityadi. So we accept that as supreme. So there is an impersonal direction. There is impersonal understanding of the Absolute, but that's incomplete. And if one insists on that and then tries to subordinate Krishna to the impersonal, then it becomes offensive. So, what were you going to say? Brahmano hi pratishtaham. Personalism and impersonalism. Oh, from that, yeah, well, that's certainly the way that Srila Prabhupada explains it, that he's different, he's establishing that there is the impersonal Brahman, and I'm the basis of that. Although, basis, at the same time, it's not that the impersonal Brahman is different from Krishna. Also, we should, according to the Vedanti Tat Tat the Vidas Tatam Yajgyanam Advayam Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavan Iti Shabhyate, it's Advayam. It's not that Krishna is different from the impersonal Brahman, in the sense that the sun and the sun rays are non-different. A person and his smile are non-different. So there is, or Shankaracharya gave that example, the wave and the sea are non-different. But still the wave is dependent on the sea, it's not vice versa.
Krishna says that we should serve him with love and devotion to please him.
Krishna says that we should serve him with love and devotion to please him.
So Krishna appears in the form of Sarvigraha, and then he's a Paramatma residing in the heart. So what is the best way to please him? What kind of worship? How to please him?
What is the best way to please Krishna? Well, you'll find many answers. But the one that we'll find most and most emphasized is that if we please the devotee of Krishna, Krishna is more pleased than if we try to please him directly. Hare Krishna. All your boys know this verse? They can all chant it? Alright, you all chant? Gurukul students? Mata para. Alright, thank you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Hare Krishna.